As you can see from the title that I've given this message, this is a very serious message. I want to change it to, are you really sure you're really going to heaven? Now, I'm not just talking to the lost folks here this morning. I'm going to talk to those of us who think we're Christians. I'm going to challenge you this morning. I'm going to do it with God's Word. God's going to challenge you this morning. Are you really sure you're going to heaven? Or is this just something you do? Is you just pretend to be a Christian? I'm going to tell you the difference this morning. When you leave here, you won't have any problem in distinguishing whether you're a Christian or whether you're not a Christian. If you remember a few years ago, I preached a message on why the church needs to get saved. This is kind of an extension of that message. And for those of you that were here, I don't know, it's been 2, maybe 3 weeks ago on a Sunday night, you're going to say, well, Brother Greg, this message sounds very familiar. It should. It's the same one with a little deeper revelation, even from 2 or 3 weeks ago. God, when I was preaching this message that night, really spoke to my heart that night, and I don't know why, but that night while I was preaching, He spoke to my heart and said, April 10th, a.m. service, you're re-preaching that message. Now, I've preached the same message before, but I've never had God tell me while I was preaching that message that I was going to be preaching it again. So, folks, this is for somebody here today. And we're going to be talking about something that is very serious, something that is a very sobering thought. And I want you to pay very close attention. This message should make even us who are mature Christians really take inventory of our life, an inventory of our commitment to God. That message I preached about 2 years ago on why the church needs to get saved, if you remember the scriptures I used, is where the Bible says, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. And it talks about we have to walk the straight and narrow way, and most churchgoers aren't doing that. We're going to be, like I said, we're going to be expounding upon that thought. And this is an area where there is no gray. You're either saved or you're lost. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to split hell wide open. There's no two ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's the only two choices. Can you see why this is so important? Can you see why this message is such a burden on my heart today? Folks, we need to really take a look at this. Now, I said I'm going to show you scripture after scripture after scripture showing you what God thinks about this. And you may not have time to write all these down or to look all these up, but please write them down and look at them later on. I'm going to start in Romans chapter 6. And as we go through here, I want you to ask yourself, am I really sure that I'm going to heaven? Wouldn't it be a tragedy to spend your life going to church and end up in hell? You say, well, that can't happen. Yes, it can. Going to church doesn't save you. And yes, you do need to go to church. But going to church will not save you. Folks, those people that go to church every single day. I've got a friend who goes to church 7 days a week. She's just as lost as she can be. But she thinks going to church is going to save her. It won't. We're going to show you today what will get you saved. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 15. It says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? The King James says, God forbid. The original Greek says, may it never be. In other words, we should never sin because we are no longer under the law. Verse 16 says, know you not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants you are. Now notice that. To whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are. Now, there's only two choices here. It says, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That's the only two choices, folks. I'd like to give you more, but there's not any more. You are either serving sin, which is unto death. And this is not talking about the physical death where you die. This is talking about death, the separation from God, spending eternity in a place called hell and the lake of fire. Or you are a servant of obedience unto righteousness. I don't know about you, but righteousness sounds a whole lot better to me than death. Righteousness is a right standing with God, being made justified before God, just as if I had never sinned. But that's the only two choices. You're either serving sin or you're serving God and His righteousness. Verse 17. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So he reemphasizes it here. You were the servants of sin, but since you obeyed, since you got saved, since you really totally gave your life and your heart to God, you have become the servants of righteousness. Now, I want to back up just a little bit in that same chapter, in Romans chapter 6. And I want to show you that this is completely, totally your choice. And I like Johnny's devotion this morning. He said you can't depend on your Christian family. You can't depend upon if your grandparents have been Christians. You really can't even depend you can't depend upon it, like I said, even going to church your whole life. Folks, I've shared with you before, my brother was raised in church. He was very active in the church, but at the age of 35, God finally got him under conviction and showed him he was just as lost could be. And at the time, he was the youth director in his church. You can go to church your whole life and still be lost. You can be active in the church and still be lost. But it's your choice. Romans 6, starting in verse 11, says, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Dead unto sin. But alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you yourselves, your members, as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now let me tell you right here. I wasn't sure I was going to bring this out, but God is really impressing it upon me. We need to understand what sin is. The Bible says, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, it is sin. You know, a lot of times we say, I'm not committing adultery. I'm not living in fornication. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't cuss. I don't cheat on my taxes. I don't cheat my neighbors. I don't sin. Well, folks, that's some of the sins, but there's a whole lot more. To him that knows to do good and does not do it, it is sin. Reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto any kind of sin. That changes it, doesn't it? That makes it personal, doesn't it? Oh, we're not just talking about the heathens out there. We're talking about people in church. Yeah. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. And what does that mean? Well, I'm glad you asked. That's exactly where we're headed today. If you serve sin, you will reap corruption. And what is corruption? Folks, corruption is spending eternity in hell. If we serve sin, all kinds of sin, any sin, not just the ones that other people do. I told you I wanted you to take inventory this morning, folks. This is very personal. You've got to look at this. And I promise you, you don't want to go to hell. Whatever you do, you want to do everything within your power not to go to hell. Hell is a horrible, horrific place. We have I'm not even sure if this is a word, but I'm going to try to make it a word. We have cartoonized sin to the point that we are, oh, the devil's that little red guy with a pitchfork with a red tail. Don't you wish? By the way, the devil's not the one that's going to cast you into hell either. God says He will cast you there if you have not received His Son. Hell is a horrific place. Gnashing of teeth. Torment. If you read about Lazarus and the rich man, you find out quickly that the rich man was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. It's not a fun place to be. You won't have any friends there. There won't be any parties. You will be in torment. The worst torment you can possibly imagine. That's why this message is so important. I don't care if you've gone to church your whole life. You need to take inventory today. But on the other side of that coin, if we serve the Spirit of God, we will reap eternal life. Just the complete opposite. As bad as hell is, folks, heaven is on the opposite side just as good as you can possibly imagine. And by the way, we're not going to be floating around on little bitty clouds. What kind of fun would that be? We won't go into a lot of detail, but it's going to be a place you do not want to miss. Take the good parts of earth, multiply it by 3 trillion million, and that's going to be heaven. And I'll need a math expert in here to figure out how much 3 trillion million is, but it's a bunch. But it's going to be that good. And again, folks, those are the only two options. It's either hell or it's heaven. So choose very, very, very carefully. I'm going to show you the importance this morning of giving your all to God. And I'm going to give you multiple scriptures. So I could give you many, many, many more. But I'm going to give you enough to know exactly what God has to say about it. And the thought that I'm getting ready to go into is very sobering. Very serious. And when you study the Bible, you find out that there is no such thing as a lukewarm Christian. You're either 100% for God, or you're 100% against Him. You're either serving sin or you're serving God. You can't do both. You're either saved on your way to heaven, or you're lost on your way to hell. You can't do both. And I understand that that is a strong statement to say that there are no lukewarm Christians. But folks, I didn't say that. God said that. That's God's statement. He's trying to get across to you the seriousness of this and the gravity of this. And He really wants you to listen closely because He wants you in heaven. He sent His Son to die on the cross to take your sin. And Jesus went to the place called hell so you wouldn't have to. God wants you in heaven. So listen closely. And make some very conscious decisions today. In Revelation chapter 3, Jesus is speaking. He said, I know thy works. We can't hide a thing from God, can we? God knows. You know and God knows if you're saved or not. He says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. That's strong words, isn't it? But that's God's words. Going on down with that, he says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And that's what we're doing today. We're trying to enlighten your understanding through the Word of God. But it's very clear in the New Testament that Jesus' call is either all or nothing. I'm not sure if I shared this with you the other day or not, but I heard a preacher a while back make this statement. When he first made it, I really was overwhelmed with it, and it shocked me. And I got to thinking about it, and I'm like, he's right. His statement was, if you're a sinner, if you're a heathen, be the best sinner, the best heathen you can be. Go all out. But if you're a Christian, you be the best Christian you can be. Go all out. Don't hold anything back. Be 110% Christian. Be Christ-like. Give God all you have, or don't give God anything at all. We've already found out lukewarm makes God sick. He will vomit you out of his mouth. That's a pretty disgusting picture, isn't it? But that's what God thinks about us being lukewarm. In Matthew 16:24, again, Jesus is speaking his words. He says, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So folks, again, it's either our way or God's way. And Jesus said, if you're going to come after me, you have to deny yourself completely. And no, that's not just preachers. And no, that's not just deacons. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So it's either you and your way or God and his way. And I promise you, God's way is so much better. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. Listen to what he says here. Knowing this, that our old man, the man you were before you were saved, is crucified with Jesus, that the body of sin might be completely, totally annihilated. King James says destroyed, but that's what destroyed is, isn't it? That henceforth we should not serve sin. Let me read that again. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, with Jesus, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Folks, something that is crucified is dead. It no longer exists. Nobody is partially crucified. They are crucified. If you go back to Jesus on the cross, they even broke his legs to make sure that he was completely dead. They didn't break his, they broke the thief. And they put a spear through the side of Jesus to make sure they were dead. Crucifixion was an absolute. It was not a possibility. It was an absolute. If we are to be crucified, then it is an absolute. Something that no longer exists. We either have the old man or we have the new man. You can't be both. Matthew chapter 6 verse 24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Did you catch that? It didn't say you would dislike one and kind of like the other. It said you will hate one. And you'll love the other. And the Bible tells us very clearly that if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. You say, well, I don't love the world. I don't do all the things you mentioned earlier, Brother Greg. Do you or do you not? Is your time completely given to God? I mean, you can look at somebody's time, and you can look at somebody's checkbook, and you can tell whether they're of God or of the world. And we're not going to get too deep in that today, but you can look at somebody's schedule And what somebody does with their time, and what somebody does with their checkbook, and clearly see if they're serving God or if they're not. Let me give you one more. Luke 14:33. Again, Jesus speaking. Whoever of you, again, talking about any single person, whoever you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Again, folks, it is so clear. It's either all or nothing. Now, let me make a qualifying statement here. I'm not saying that if you mess up, that doesn't mean you were never a Christian. We all mess up. We all sin. We're talking about every single day of our life, the longevity of what we do in long term. The distinction is a posture of obedience and surrender. When you mess up, ask forgiveness, and you keep moving forward in your walk with God. I'm not talking about messing up. I said we all do that. What I'm talking about is those people that go around doing what I want to call Christian-y things or churchy things. If you read the Bible, you find out that the Pharisees were just as religious as they could get. They were religious to the very letter of the law, but they were just as lost as they could be. I don't want you being religious. I don't want you doing churchy things. I want you to be completely, totally surrendered and sold out to God like you never have been before. Folks, you are somebody's slave. The all-important question is, whose slave are you? You know, I hear people sometimes say, well, I don't come to church on Sunday night. We need our family time. You're lost. I know that's strong. I know that's bold. That's not forsaking all. I know it's strong. I didn't say it. God said it. Folks, we need to really look at this. Yes, we need family time. Find another day besides Sunday. Cancel one of your ball games if you have to. Don't turn the TV on. What if you have to do? Yes, have family time. But don't take God's time. Show God you are completely, totally surrendered to Him. Amen. What comes first to you? The morning newspaper or God's Word? Well, if you've forsaken all, then you're going to make sure that it's God's Word. And again, I didn't say this. God's the one that said this. God never for one moment ever said that anything less than total surrender was acceptable. And let me share with you, I know I'm being a little harsh when, folks, I don't want you going to hell. I want you just as saved as you can possibly be. I want your family saved. I want you on your way to heaven. I want you living a life that when you get to heaven, God is going to cast so many rewards upon you that you're going to say, wow, this is overwhelming. But that's what God wants for you. But folks, you can't do it your way and get God's rewards. We sing the song, I Surrender All, but folks, it's more than a song. It's a requirement. It's a requirement. We expect the pastor and we expect the deacons to be completely surrendered. But God expects all of us to be just as surrendered as the pastor or the deacons or anybody else in the church. A friend of mine put it this way. He said, if Jesus is not your Lord, then He's not your Savior. And that's exactly what we're talking about today. If He's not your master, He's not your Savior. And let me take it one step further. If He's not Lord of all, then He's not Lord at all. If He's not Lord over your time, over your money, over every other aspect of your life. Now, folks, he's not Lord at all. And you need to do some serious self-evaluation. We need to ask God to search our hearts and see where our level of commitment is. Again, lukewarm makes God sick. I know you don't want to make God sick. I know you don't. Why not go one step further and do what you need to do to make God really happy? Really happy. God wants to take pleasure in His children. And He's told us exactly how to do that. And it really kind of all boils down to this. Sometimes we think, and I've never heard this statement here, but I hear it frequently out when I'm talking to people, that God is out to get us. God is not out to get us. God is out to give to us. You know, that's just as, like, if I stood up here and told you, well, when I was growing up, my mom and dad was out to get me. No, they weren't out to get me. They had to get harsh with me sometimes to help me to grow up, to be a good, productive citizen, and to make sure that I was a good Christian, and to make sure that I had a good, strong moral life and a good Christian life. But they weren't out to get me. They were out to make me into the man they had in their mind that I could be. And God is not out to get you. But sometimes God does have to get harsh with us and really help us to see if we're doing what He told us that we have to do. Folks, He wants us to love Him. And He wants us to reverence Him. And He wants us to love Him. Listen to this. This is His words. This tells you everything right here. He wants us to love Him and to serve Him with all of your heart. All of your heart. You can't hold back one little part for yourself. All of your mind. All of your strength. What's left? There's nothing left because it's called total surrender. Absolute, total surrender. And it's worth it. Folks, it is worth it. It's not only worth it here in this life. But when we get to heaven, we're going to have no regrets whatsoever. And again, yes, I know I've been harsh with you today, and if you've gotten upset at me, part of me is glad. That says I hit a spot. Do the evaluation that needs to be done. And really see if you're living a life that God is completely, totally happy with. Because He said all or nothing. All or nothing. Forsaking all. Giving Him all. Everything you have. Because we owe it to Him. And because He is deserving of everything. Let's stand and let's pray. Father, just like this song says, we surrender all. And I know, Father, that that sounds like maybe an over-exaggeration, but You are not over-exaggerating. You gave Your all. You gave Your only Son. He died and He went to the very depths and the very pits of hell that we might have eternal life, and You asking us for our all is not asking too much. And Father, You told us if we'll give You our all, You will reward us here in this life and in the life to come. And Father, I ask right now that You would just help us to do a self-evaluation. And if there's one here today that's never been saved, I ask, Father, You'd give them the courage and the boldness to come down and to receive the gift of eternal life and the gift of salvation that You so freely offer. And Father, for those of us that may have slipped out of the way, we're not using our time the way You want us to. And we haven't really thought about the seriousness of it or the gravity of it. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts and show us exactly, Father, what we need to do. And that we would ask forgiveness and once again commit our all unto you. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.